MFO in Medford.
Really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
Mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of Darman Lafoe.
Push it right to the edge.
Who do we have here?
A very curious friend.
I know you like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
I had a conversation about flying saucers some years ago with Lehman. Because I'm scientific, I know all about flying saucers. So I said, I don't think there are flying saucers. So my antagonist said, is it impossible that there are flying saucers? Can you prove that it's impossible? I said, no, I can't prove it's impossible. It's just very unlikely. That, they say, you are very unscientific. If you can't prove it impossible, then why, how can you say it's likely, that it's unlikely? Well, that's the way that is scientific. It is scientific only to say what's more likely and less likely, and not to be proving all the time possible and impossible. To define what I mean, I finally said to him, listen, I mean that from my knowledge of the world that I see around me, I think that it is much more likely that the reports of flying saucers are the result of the known irrational characteristics of terrestrial intelligence rather than the unknown rational efforts of extraterrestrial intelligence.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
The whole universe is in a glass of wine.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you have now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
I was not drunk. I was on pills.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to play.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Funnily, it's layers. Built up on top of one another. Like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds on top of each other.
Computers can do that?
But I was involved with this happy thing and also drinking and drunk and playing drums, sitting on the hood of the bonnet of a Jeep and playing drums and excitement running all over Los Alamos at the same time as the people were dying and struggling in Hiroshima.
Welcome to the Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right. It's not just a radio program. It's a sound collage with audio clips from movies, TV shows, documentaries, political speeches, real-world historical events. Who knows where? Mixed in between and on top of the music. It's only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts freeform, non-commercial community, and even sometimes educational radio. Tonight, we are commemorating the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, with a theme centered around one of my biggest intellectual idols, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman, who worked on the project that built the first nuclear weapons. It was called the Manhattan Project. Our featured artists tonight are the progressive rock band Rush, but we've also got double shots of music from the Crystal Method and AC/DC. Richard Feynman played the bongos, and we're actually also going to be hearing him do exactly that and singing in the second main set. We began with, two kind of punny songs on this subject, Olivia Newton-John and Let's Get Physical, followed by Nine Inch Nails song, You're So Physical, from their Broken album. Or should I say his Broken album, because Nine Inch Nails is, oh, so creatively the genius of one person, mostly Trent Reznor. Meanwhile, backing me up right now is a band called Floyd Head with their very cool cover version of Pink Floyd's Obscured by Clouds. Time for some shout-outs. First, thanks to listener John Fisk, who sent me a very nice email about discovering WMFO and tuning into my sound collages. John lives in Beverly, and he streams our sister stations, WMBR and WZBC, and a few others with his Sonos Connect. And when he was an undergrad at Trinity College in Hartford, he was also a DJ on their radio station, WRTC, which is 89.3 on the Hartford area community radio waves. And thanks for listening, John. Also, a shout out to Sheila, I met a couple of months ago on the Mystic River Reservation Trail. I was mentioning this theme to her, and in the second hour, near the end of the show, we're going to be playing her request for Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science. And also, I'm sending out all the Rush songs to my fellow DJ, WMFO DJ and Rush aficionado, Luke Palette. So yeah, Richard Feynman was an American theoretical physicist who was known for his work in the path integral formulation of quantum mechanics, which is the study of really small things, really low-level physics. And for his contributions, he was awarded with two other people the Nobel Prize in Physics for 1965. Richard Feynman developed a kind of pictorial, a graphical representation scheme for mathematical expressions describing the behavior of subatomic particles, which were later known as Feynman diagrams. And he had a van, and he decorated them with Feynman diagrams. One day, somebody stopped him, and they asked him, Why do you have a van that's got Feynman diagrams all over it? And he replied, because I'm Richard Feynman, and I invented them. So Yeah, during his lifetime, he became one of the best-known scientists in the world. And in 1999, a poll of 130 leading physicists worldwide ranked him as one of the 10 greatest physicists of all time. He assisted in the development of the atomic bomb during World War II and became known to the public widely in the 1980s as a member of the Rogers Commission, the panel that investigated the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. And along with his work in theoretical physics, he's also been credited with pioneering the field of quantum computing, and introducing the concept of nanotechnology. He was a professor at the California Institute of Technology and a key popularizer of physics through his books. And his 1959 talk on top-down nanotechnology was called There's Plenty of Room at the Bottom. And he also had a three-volume publication on the undergraduate physics, the Feynman Lectures on Physics. And he wrote a whole bunch of books, too. So, in the next set, we're going to hear one of his excerpts of his lectures on top of some Miles Davis music, the Pan Piper. He's going to be talking about the relative size of atoms. Also going to be hearing Rush's song Natural Science. I'm going to send out this next set to Arthur, who, as we mentioned on a previous episode, is currently taking a summer break from his WMFO show, The Grand Hour, which explores the golden age of radio. And this set begins and ends with Crystal Method space-themed tracks, particularly the closing song where you're going to hear some of those audio clips from real-life historical events, the launch and blow-up of the Challenger space shuttle in 1986. But this first song is called High Roller, and it's the Miyagi remix. Has clips from Apollo 8 as it went around the moon with its three astronauts. At that time, the humans who were traveling furthest away from Earth ever. I hope you like it. Here on the Tears of the Gods Sound Collage, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Education Radio.
because I love it rock.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. All you really have to do is go into a chat room and start talking. Once we start chatting, I act as cool as possible. The more we chat, the more they trust me. When they send their picture, I tell them how hot they are. After I convince them we're soulmates, I ask to meet in person. Once that happens, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Visit cybertipline.com, a message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
The quantum mechanics has several aspects. In the first place, the idea that a particle has a definite location and a definite speed is no longer allowed. That's wrong. And to give a measure of how wrong classical physics is, there's a rule that says that you can't both know where something is and how fast it's moving. The uncertainty in the momentum of it and the uncertainty in the position complementary. The product of the two is a constant. If you want the law, if you like the right equations, you can write this. I will explain it some other time in more detail. This is the explanation of a very mysterious paradox. If the atoms are made out of plus and minus charges, why don't the minus charges simply sit on top of the plus charges? They attract each other. Why don't they just sit there on top? Why is our atom so big? Why, if there is a nucleus here and the electrons around? We first was thought that it was because the nucleus was big. No. The nucleus is very small. The atom in its diameter here is 10 to the minus 8 centimeters. The nucleus in its diameter is of the order 10 to the minus 13 centimeters. What does that mean? That means that if you had an atom and you wanted to see the nucleus, you'd have to expand it, magnify it, till the whole atom is the size of this room, and then the nucleus is a bare speck that you can just about make out with the eye, a hundredth of an inch small. All the weight of the atom is in that. What keeps the electrons from simply falling in? This principle. If they sat there, then you'd know where they were and that they weren't moving. And you can't have that. So they don't sit there, because if you try to put them there, they start moving around. Well, they move around and they take a compromise. They leave themselves a little room for this uncertainty, and they jiggle at a certain amount of minimum motion given by this rule. You remember also that when a crystal is cooled to absolute zero, the atoms do not stop moving, they still jiggle. Why? Because if they stopped moving, you'd know where they were and that they had zero motion. And that's against the uncertainty principle. You're not supposed to know where they are and how fast they're moving, so they continually wiggle in there.
Of time.
microcosmic planet, a complete society. A simple kind of mirror to reflect upon our own, all the busy little creatures chasing out their destinies, living in the pools they soon forget about the sea.
We'll be right back. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th space shuttle mission, and it is clear to power.
You're tuned in to the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only here on WMFO. Tufts freeform, non-commercial, community, and even sometimes educational radio. In case you didn't already know it, I'm your host, Edward Buechert. And this evening, we are commemorating the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima, Japan, and Nagasaki, Japan, on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, respectively. With a theme that revolves around the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman, who worked on the Manhattan Project that developed those nuclear weapons. We began and finished that half-hour-ish set you just heard with two songs from the Crystal Method, both going out to Arthur, host of the Grand Hour episodes from the Golden Age of Radio here on WMFO. Yeah, it was the commenced with High Roller, the Miyagi remix off of Vegas Deluxe, the remixed version of Vegas that came out 10 years later. And then we concluded with my Plastic Sushi Space Shuttle Challenger remix of the Crystal Method's Vapor Trail from the original Vegas album. Definitely an example there of taking audio clips from real life historical events and mixing them on top of the music. And then in between that, we heard from Miles Davis, the Pan Piper, with Richard Feynman, a lecture excerpt with him talking about the, well, quantum mechanics, a whole bunch of things in there, but most notably the size, the relative size of the nucleus of an atom versus the whole size of the big thing, and it's pretty tiny. Another example of scales of things that I think's worth passing on is if the Earth is the size of the globe that you can buy in stores, a typical Earth globe about a foot in diameter, then the moon is about the size of a grapefruit, and it's orbiting about 30 feet away around that globe. And then the sun is a 14-story building that's like 3 miles away. The scales of things are pretty incredible. So I ran across Richard Feynman for the first time when I was a youngster. I was flipping channels on the television as a teenager. And on the PBS station, there was a show with a guy talking at the camera from his desk while an interviewer who wasn't visible asked him questions. And I was just fascinated. Who is this guy? He certainly seems pretty smart. And at the end, the credits rolled, and it was something like a conversation with Richard Feynman. And I remembered his name, and I looked him up, and he's become one of my biggest intellectual idols. He was on the Rogers Commission, the panel that investigated the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. And he was, the story's kind of complicated. You could read his book about that. What do you care what other people think? Well, and surely you're joking. And as he explains, some people were giving him some clues. There was a general and there were some engineers. He rather famously went over to a model that they had of the engines, and kind of surreptitiously did this. He took out the rubber O-rings and experimented with them, and he had an example right in front that was on live TV where he took the O-rings, and when they were at room temperature, he compressed them, and then he let them go, and you saw they came out, and then he showed another one that he had in some ice water that they were drinking there, and he compressed it, and it didn't come back very immediately. And he explained, I think this may have something to do with the problem. I think he's also had an outstanding analysis of how badly NASA's risk analysis was. Because NASA asserted through their computations that the odds of a catastrophic event on the space shuttle were 1 in 100,000. But that was completely wrong. It was the 25th launch of the space shuttle that the Challenger exploded. So that was 1 in 25. And then, despite all the safety improvements and the further assertions, like, we're coming clean now, and the odds are 1 in 1,000 when they resume the space shuttle program, the Columbia disintegrated on the 113th mission. So once again, you've got to take the real odds of things, and it was two catastrophic shuttle events in 113 missions, so about 1 in 57. So in the next set, we're going to hear some more, another Richard Feynman talk excerpt layered on top of a Tangerine Dream song, Alpha Centauri. We've also got some other audio clips from, well, Gage and Stella and Mark Davis layered in on that. And then we've got Richard Feynman playing bongos and singing the Orange Juice song. Another Rush song that I think describes Richard Feynman and some other people, New World Man. And we'll close out with a AC/DC space song, sort of. Also in here, a song from Queen with the smartest guitar player. Well, Queen's astrophysicist guitar player. He's got a PhD in astrophysics. And this song is actually about Einstein's theory of relativity and time dilation when you go traveling near the speed of light. And at the same time, it's kind of like a song about people settling the new world. Absolutely incredible. But first, Richard Feynman developed a fascination with tuba. And they have a certain style of singing that involves singing from the throat. And that is how we're going to start off this set for you right now here on WMFO in Memphis.
Ooh. Volunteer.